This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Reckless speculation.
It is.
Reckless speculation.
Best day of the week. Reckless speculation Thursday.
Bring it on.
I know people are excited about March Madness, NCAA tournament starting today, but that can take a backseat to Reckless Speculation Thursday.
Reckless Speculation.
Reckless Speculation Thursday. It's 1, 2, 3, and 4. The NCAA tournament, which, by the way, at one time was great, I feel like it's way, way behind our Reckless Speculation, especially in March when all hell is breaking loose.
Yes, and that's why we bring in our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. You can find him here on this podcast, Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd, and the Score North YouTube channel every Tuesday and Thursday. Doogie, welcome to Reckless Speculation Thursday.
Hello, gentlemen. Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday. I'm with you. The best day of the week. There is no debate about that.
So let's start Vikings. We'll get to the Wolves ownership update, which sounds like good news. But with the Vikings, we've done so much on quarterback, the Cousins saga, and then into all the speculation on who they might draft. Let's go into like the margins and the cracks here. So we're a week and a half away from the beginning of free agency. So all the premier free agents are signed. The Vikings have signed a bunch of depth defensive players in the last couple of days. They signed a depth edge rusher, a depth linebacker. So help us fill in some of these cracks here. That, you know, Dalton Reisner is still sitting out there. Are there still moves to be made for the Vikings? Or are they largely done a week and a half after the free agent window opened, Dukes?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say, Phil, that they are done. Now, you brought up the name Dalton Reisner. There just hasn't been any steam whatsoever. I know it beats him up pretty good. Like, he so badly wants to be back. I think I sense that there's some surprise from his end, that there just hasn't been any movement. Now, not to suggest that something couldn't change as long as he's sitting out there, but like at this point, like it continues to trend in the direction of what I laid out this time, what, about 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago? There hasn't been anything, right? Like we thought there would be. I at least thought there would be, but Phil, like nothing, zero on the Dalton Reisner front. So at this point, it certainly looks like he is going to be elsewhere. I thought he would be back. I really did. So it looks like I will swing and miss on that prediction.
It's odd, though, Dukes, that he was out there, what, until well into the season last year? Like, there's something we don't know here. There's something weird. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I just don't know. But, like, if you are a premium guard now, because guards are, you know, they're well paid. They're very important. Let's recklessly speculate. Opening day 2024. Who do you think the Vikings guards are? Because, you know, they've done a lot here. Defensively, they've done a lot. They've signed guys. As far as the shorthandedness at offense, they've signed what could be a third receiver, a running back. The one thing they really haven't done beyond retain Blake Brandle and some backups is guard. What do we think the guard situation looks like when the Vikings start the season?
Well, I mean, you just said one name, Blake Brandle, right? I mean, you look at the terms of that contract to guarantee him millions of dollars. The structure of his contract suggests starter. So Brandle, and at this point at Ingram. Now, you know, let's see what they do in terms of the draft. I don't think guard is a super high priority. Like, I'll give you one thing that I've heard a lot the last couple weeks, draft-wise, away from the quarterback position, is all the work the Vikings have been doing on running backs, like the Florida State running back. I don't know if he's the consensus number one back, but there's enough people with big opinions who say that Florida State back is the best running back in this draft. Well, the Vikings are doing as much due diligence on him as just about anyone. There's some other running backs you can point to as well. I just haven't heard a lot of guard type steam. Not to suggest the Vikings couldn't find a guard, you know, day three that could compete with, let's say, Ed Ingram for that starting job. But at this point, I think it's who they have internal. Like, I don't necessarily see. Now, again, could it change on Reisner? I suppose it could. I'm just saying, yeah, in the moment, you know, as we're, what, 2 weeks now into free agency, there hasn't been, like, outside of a conversation here, a conversation there, it just, nothing has picked up off the ground. It really hasn't.
It is kind of funny how this franchise, I get that it's different front office, different coach, but this franchise, it's been a decade since they had anything resembling stability at guard. You know, Steve Hutchinson, obviously one of the great guards in franchise. They went a long time in the 90s. You had Randall McDaniel that was a staple, and then Steve Hutchinson for all those years in the early 2000s. But I want to say it's like 20 different starting guards over the past 10 or 11 years. And here we go again. And Ed Ingram, by the way, he took a jump last year in performing. He was one of the worst offensive linemen in the NFL, according to PFF's metrics, pressures allowed, sacks allowed, his rookie year. He did get better last year, but he was nowhere near like top of the league or top half of the league. So there's no guarantees that he's going to be a long-term starter in that spot. So I would think that they're in the market someplace in the draft for another guard, and then maybe there's a competition. I think Ingram starts on the right side, but maybe it's Brandel versus a couple other young guys or depth guys at left guard. But here we go again at guard, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't think you're just handing Brandel a starting spot right this second, right? I mean, there has to be some level of competition, but you can see based on the terms of his contract, there is a belief from the Vikings that, hey, this can be the guy. Now, in terms of roster management, roster building, I guess I understand. Like, you look at some of these guard contracts, right? The guy that, did he re-sign with the Rams? Dotson? I mean, look at Kevin that Dotson deal. Look what the Carolina Panthers have done at the guard position. I mean, in some ways, resetting the guard market. Like,
guards,
some of those numbers.
$20 million now, Dukes. $20 million.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? So, I mean, I understand it if you're like, okay, we're paying our right tackle a ton of money, rightfully so. We're about to pay our left tackle a ton of money, rightfully so. Let's figure out the inside. Yeah, okay, we need to be better, but we can't invest a ton of money interior of the offensive line. If that is the philosophy, which it certainly looks like it is, I fully embrace that. I fully understand it.
So I think this might be, and I believe we discussed this as well, the possibility of this, you guys, on Tuesday. I think that the guard position and center might actually be phase two. So if the roster is a construction project, okay, I could see the Vikings actually going into the market a year from now in March with more cap space.
Yes.
Cap goes up.
Sure. Yes.
Dead cap hits off the books. And at that point in time, saying, okay, let's go get a left guard now. I don't love that, but what I do love is I think if you look at what they're doing here, there's a very deliberate construction to it. And it's not, you know, they're not going to suck. As we continue to say, this is not a rebuild. This is not a team that is going to win three games. This is a team that's going to win games. But that being said, you can sort of see a deliberate attempt here. It feels like they're spending right now, or they did in free agency, Dukes, on guys coming out for the most part of their first contracts on defense. So I wouldn't be surprised if the splash interior offensive line move and like a defensive tackle move comes a year from now. And those are your and those are your go time guys, because I do really think that if this works out as intended, 2025, this team could be competitive for a Super Bowl.
Yes. I mean, it all comes down to the quarterback.
That's good.
Yes. But based on this time next year, the amount of money they are going to have. I mean, you look at the structures of these free agent deals. Well, a lot of the free agent deals are 1 year deals, right? But look at the multi-year agreements, right, with Van Ginkel, with Cashman. Like, there's escape routes if need be in a year. Grenard, not so much, although it's not like troublesome if you look at the structure of his contract. Right. Plus, there's a belief.
Also a good player.
Yeah, I mean, double-digit sack guy, you know, prime of his career. Like, there are certain guys you're going to invest big money in. So that just, it makes sense. But Van Ginkel, Cashman, then all the guys they signed to one-year deals, right, from Griffin to Darnold to Jones, right? We are looking at, this time next year, the Vikings having unbelievable flexibility. So, yes, whether it's a guard, whatever it is, right? Like, they are going to be big time players in free agency a year from now. Now it just comes down to hitting on the quarterback. But yes, if you have that good quarterback on a rookie deal, you know, now it's time to shine, right? That's where you spend the money. That's where, for the next couple of years, if you have the right quarterback on a rookie deal, go win the NFC. Go get to the Super Bowl. Heck, go hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah. You know, I want to broach some more reckless speculation here with you guys. It is a safe space. Well, let me hit this button here. Turn this back on.
Reckless speculation.
I feel like 99.99999% of the Vikings draft speculation is about where will they trade up to, or could they stand pat maybe? And 0.00001% of the discussion is, what if they actually trade back from 11? What if they, because you guys have just outlined some offensive line problems that they're going to need a new starting center at some point. They're probably going to need a new left guard. They don't have a great number three wide receiver option right now on the roster. Defensive tackle remains the biggest hole to fill on the roster. You know, there's, you could even poke in the secondary. Harrison Smith's about to be gone. Like,
yeah, I mean, you need another pass rusher.
There's multiple pieces, right? Mm-hmm.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
If the top three teams are locked into Caleb Williams, let's say the Commanders and the Patriots are just shutting teams down and saying, nope, Drake May and Jaden Daniels are worth more than the draft capital we could get. And this is another thing that people aren't talking about. There is so much J.J. McCarthy steam out there. It almost makes you raise an eyebrow. It feels a little like the Will Levis stuff from last year where, oh, Will Levis, look at him climbing up draft boards. At one point, there was a rumor like a day before the draft, is he going to go number one overall? This is crazy. Malik Willis from 2 years ago, everyone loves Malik Willis. He's going to be a top 10 pick, top 15 pick, falls to the third round, right? Is there a chance that J.J. McCarthy, that this is all smokescreen, that he has just become the figurehead for every team to say how much they love him, but really he's not going to go in the top five or six picks? Or if he does, maybe the Giants go and get him. I just think there's a scenario where the Vikings actually trade back from 11, grab a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, keep the 23. Maybe they trade back, get a day two pick, and they continue to build out their roster. I feel like no one wants to entertain that discussion, Doogie.
Oh, I think we can entertain the discussion. It's just, it's based on the work they've done so far. Now, are there smoke screens? Heck, there are examples going back any number of years, right? Pre-draft, the Vikings did very, very little. Well, heck, just about nothing with Harrison Smith, right? Eric Kendricks, right? We can point. Different regime, but the idea is there are guys that you know, and you don't want to show your hand whatsoever. Okay, so I understand that. But just based on the pre-draft work, even going back, you know, months upon months, I just don't sense like Nix or Penix is the guy. I just don't. I'm not dismissing it. We can have the discussion. That's plenty fine. Let's have the discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, I'm not there.
There's been so much work on
those top guys.
My question to them would be, I get Drake May and Jaden Daniels, and those guys have been up near the top the entire process. Are they sure enough? Let's say you have to jump to four or five to get J.J. McCarthy, because if you don't, the Giants will, or the Raiders will, or somebody else. Are you that sure about J.J. McCarthy that you would give up all of that capital, the 20, the 11, the 23, maybe even next year's first round pick, because he is for sure the guy, over one of the other options? Like, a lot of smart, this is my warning to the Vikings, a lot of smart front offices, the 49ers, widely regarded as one of the smartest front offices in all of sports the last 10 years. And they got a bunch of brainiac football people in a room and said, yeah, Trey Lance is our guy. Let's climb the draft board. Let's give up a bunch of first round picks. Let's do it. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan all said, yep, that's our guy right there. And they were dead wrong. So how can, let alone like all the people on Twitter with an opinion or YouTube, whatever, like the four of us, if the smartest teams in the NFL are wrong about trading up for that many picks, how can you be that sure? I just get a little nervous for the idea of trading future first round picks to move up for a guy that you're 72% sure about.
Well, okay. What do you need to give up to get up to four to guarantee yourself one of these guys, right?
11, 23.
McCarthy. If May is two, Daniels is three. Okay. If the floor is McCarthy, like you're getting one of those guys at pick four. Are you giving up your 2025 first round pick? Or is 11 plus 23 plus whatever else good enough to get you up to four?
That's going to depend on if the Giants play ball. If the Giants play ball, you probably have to, because they're going from six to four to jump the Vikings. That's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would say is it feels to me like the Vikings did a test run in last year's draft and tried to trade up for a guy that they liked, but they had an eye on this class.
Yes, Anthony Richardson was that guy, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And they liked him. I'm not saying they didn't, but when they didn't get him, it's like, okay, that was a trial run. Now you got 11 and 23. And I think the answer to Phil's question is this too. I mean, Kevin O'Connell's here for this. This is his moment. And so this quarterback class itself looks very, very good. So I think the answer is you could sort of feel it that the Vikings have targeted this draft to identify and get a QB. Now, the question that I find super intriguing is which one do they really want and which one can they really get? So, like, is the McCarthy thing a smokescreen of, you know, come hell or high water, we are going to get Drake May? Because I feel like Jaden Daniels is going second. That's just my gut right now. And we know Caleb's going first. But if they're going, but if they say we're going to get Drake May, we're going to get that Patriots pick, you are going to have to give up a ton. But this is, but my, to go back to my point, 2025, you need to have hit on that pick. You've right now reconstructed your roster. I really like it. And so the question becomes, if you are willing, if you think Drake May is that guy, are you going to tell O'Connell, look what's happened in the past, buddy boy? Because, you know, San Francisco did miss. I mean, are you sure? Because if I'm O'Connell, I say, I've identified him. I've told you, do it or don't, but I'm here for this. This is my moment. Back off, everybody else.
Absolutely. And I mean, hey, KOC embraced losing Kirk, right? That, like, he definitely wanted Kirk back, but understood there was a dropping off point. And he embraced that, okay? But now, are you really going to offer more resistance on Kevin? So I'm with you that they've targeted this specific class for a while. Good reminder on Richardson last year, right? Where to me, they showed their hand enough in that regard. So there's not like this deep pattern with this new regime, but they did show their hand this time last year with Richardson. I'm just telling you, there hasn't been Knicks and Penix steam on my end. It really hasn't. Now, I will tell you, Phil, like your trepidation, like I had a respected agent who doesn't have any clients on the Vikings, but he grew up a Vikings fan. So him and I are in constant correspondence. He texted me exactly the other day or a couple days ago what you just said. He goes, I'm okay with JJ at pick 11. He can't stand the idea of the Vikings moving up for McCarthy. He understands them moving up if it's May or Daniels, but he's like, no, we can't give up like all this draft equity to move up for JJ McCarthy. That is just this one person's opinion, but he works in the league. He is somebody I respect. That's why I cite that conversation, right? And the opinions are all over the place. I understand that, but like I said this on Tuesday, I reiterate it now. I think they like all those guys. Now, I get it. There's one that's clear cut, right? Yeah, let's take Caleb out of the equation. Caleb going one to the Bears. But of the three, among Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, like my sense is the Vikings have pretty strong, good opinions on all three. Now, I understand it if May is clear cut number one of those three. But like I'm telling you, like there's been very, very little Jaden Daniels chatter. And I guess I don't get it. Like I'm not sitting here dismissing the possibility of Daniels ultimately being the guy here. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a wild next 4 to 5 weeks. By the way, on Purple Daily today, It's a 7-round super mock with Thor Nystrom and Tyler Fornes together. Who's all reffing? Of us, all five of us are going to be the Vikings front office. And then those guys can be the Kiper McShay from 10 years ago going at each other and arguing and yelling.
I love it,
and we'll
because
step in. And
Thor is all about McCarthy.
Yep.
Fornes is all about May, right? So for those two to butt heads.
Thor,
right?
Thor.
Lots of respect, mutual respect.
Yeah. Todd.
For those two to be butting heads, you need somebody to have a healthy Daniels opinion. Who is that person? There must be somebody out there.
I'll take that. Actually, you know what's funny?
I think they both like
Orlovsky. Is he a big Daniels guy?
I think he is. Yeah. Actually, one of those national guys has Jaden Daniels as the number one quarterback on their board.
I think Chase Daniel likes May a lot, I think. No.
So here's my favorite Jaden Daniels
number. I'll try to track him down for a Zoom soon.
My favorite Jaden Daniels number on deep throws that travel 20 yards or more in the air last year. Now he's throwing to two NFL receivers, and you know it's good to be Jaden Daniels. He had a 99 PFF grade on deep pass attempts, a 99 PFF grade, 22 touchdowns, zero interceptions on passes 20 yards or more in the air, and 27 what are classified as big time throws into either tight spots or you're getting pressured, you're getting hit, whatever it is. Like, man, he'd be fun.
And I think it was 9 yards per touch. So basically when he has the football in his hands, he's almost as guaranteed a first down every time he has the ball. Whether it's
he ran for 1,100 yards on like 100 some carries.
He's special. I mean, heck, go back to his time at Arizona State, which seems like it was forever ago because heck, it just about was forever ago. I mean, he was in college forever and he had Brandon Ayuk, so that helped. But like he was a big time college player the second he stepped foot on campus. Like his college run was off the charts.
Yeah.
I'm just
saying.
Let's
get to the Wolves.
There's Vikings interest there. Like I understand it. Talk all you want about May because of the Josh McCown connection, right? We've talked about J.J. McCarthy going back to the fall, all the work the Vikings have been doing, and I get it. McCarthy Pro Day tomorrow. The Vikings will have a healthy contingent there. You know, the Albert Breer report initially about, you know, and hey, the report is spot on about private workout early next week. It's going to be a very busy Vikings quarterback week next week. So I get it. Like in the moment, a lot of J.J. McCarthy talk. But I'm just saying, don't sleep on Jaden Daniels.
All right, Wolves, dude.
Sorry, I thought you were going Vikings, Judd. So hold on. Yeah, we will get to Wolves in a second after we shout out our friends at Zero Res. Mm-hmm. Zero Res is here to clean your house. A deep clean of your carpets, your air ducts. Call Zero Res today and get that Score North special, which is 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $129. And this month you can take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. They have a 4.9 rating on Google, which is pretty close to perfect. 952 Zero Res or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Score North special. Spell it forward or backwards, it spells the same. Zero Res. And don't forget, too, we have a brand new merchandise store, ScoreNorth.com/shop. We have new Before I Die designs and the old school ones as well. I had an email yesterday from someone saying, hey, do you guys still have any of those Reckless Speculation shirts? Why, yes, we do. At scorenorth.com/shop, you can get your Reckless Speculation swag, hoodies,
reckless
t-shirts,
speculation,
whatever you want. Okay, go ahead, Judd. Fire away.
So, Wolves, I believe it was a report that came out a couple of days ago that the group that Laurie and A-Rod had tried to get to make a large investment was not going to work out. The Athletic then reports yesterday that they have found a different group, but I think there's some confusion here. I think the confusion is this. I think people saw that and thought, oh, the sale's done. It's going to be done. Where do we stand now? Because while it's good that they got a group on board, this still needs complete approval from the league, correct?
It does. Yes. The Board of Governors next meets in mid-April to be determined if they look at this in mid-April or wait until later on. But yes, it needs the Board of Governors approval. And hey, like you look at the most recent sale, that would have been the Dallas Mavericks. Like that was a slam dunk. Like there were no questions there. There are still questions about this sales process. There just are. Yes. And like, this is no surprise, Judd. How many times did I say I saw the finances getting to the finish line? Because when you get in April, 2021 at $1.51 billion, that was such a sweetheart of a deal. Once the NBA years ago allowed equity firms to be involved in ownership groups. Mark Lurie has enough contacts. Like, it wasn't just Carlyle Group or bust. So that was the group, Carlyle Group, that it fell through that they couldn't get on the same page as the NBA. But simultaneously, Lurie was talking to other equity firms. And hey, guess what? Dyal Capital Equity, who has a stake in the Sacramento Kings, the Atlanta Hawks, recently had a stake in the Phoenix Suns. Like, they've been approved by the NBA. They are on board. Why are they on board? Because it's such a good deal. Like, it's it's fantastic. You should see the money they just made on the Phoenix Suns sale, right? So they were in on the Suns a few years ago. New guy comes in, what, in the last 18 months? Big number. This Capital Equity Group, you know, cashes out, right? They are looking at an opportunity here. It's such a sweetheart deal that they can cash out. But there are so many limited partners right now. This is the first equity firm that the NBA approved, right? So, like, to me, of all the equity firms that Mark Lurie could have landed on, and I say Lurie because, yes, I get it, A-Rod is a figurehead, but A-Rod's actual financial investment in this thing is so minimal that, to me, it's Lurie, okay? So, it's Lurie, right? To me, he did a very good job landing on the equity firm that the NBA first approved. So, of the equity firms the NBA is on board with, this one that they now have is the one, right? So, you know, like, it's trending in the right direction. It can be approved. I'm just saying, I think it's worth, just like you, Phil, saying, hey, let's have the discussion about the possibility of the Vikings actually moving back from 11. I'm not necessarily there, but I say, hey, let's have the discussion at least. I'm just saying, I think it's fair to have this discussion, this question. Will the Board of Governors ultimately approve this sales process? And I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying, let's have that discussion. Let's ask that question. We'll find out as soon as about a month from now.
Yeah. So just one other question on this. When the Timberwolves win the Larry O'Brien Trophy toward the end of June, will it likely be Glenn Taylor in one of his classic sweater vests that's up there with Adam Silver accepting the LOB? Is it at this point, with just from timing wise, when they win their first championship, it's probably Glenn who's up there thanking everyone, right?
Yeah, I would say it's probably Glenn. You know how great it would be if, like, Becky's up there too? Because Becky would be up there, Becky Taylor, Glenn's significant other. If she had, like, you know, a pan of her famous lasagna, right? Oh, so it's like all, a trade-off.
Just passing out Adam, squares of lasagna?
Give me the Larry O'Brien. Here's a pan of my famous lasagna. Yeah. Yeah, even if the Board of Governors, whether it's mid-April or that next meeting, you know, before... you know, mid-June when the Wolves are hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy on, like, you know, June 21st, right? That the Board of Governors approves this process that Mark and Alex are the majority owners, that, yes, I think in that moment, because Glenn has been the guy, was the guy for most of the season as the majority owner, yes, I would imagine it would be Glenn on that stage.
The stupidest thing in all of sports, and the only sport that gets it right, is hockey. Hand it to the players and the coach, or preferably the players. Football, baseball, and basketball parade the owner up there, and you're like, okay, dude, you own the team. That's awesome, but I want to see the players get that trophy.
And who's the Hunt for the – is it Clark Hunt now for the Chiefs? So he's up there, right, back-to-back. This is such a great franchise, great players. And then, like, the next day, the NFLPA survey comes out, and they have, like, an F-minus in every category. They won't even serve food on, like, Tuesdays, you know? Yeah. It is hilarious.
Yeah, just a reminder, the coach and the quarterback matter a lot. Yeah. Your infrastructure can stink, you know, like it does in many ways in Kansas City. But you've got the quarterback, you've got the coach, you're fine.
Yep. So, all right, let's do rapid-fire scoops. What else is in your scoop bag here, dude?
Speculation. So, Michael Lorenzen, free agent pitcher, off to the Texas Rangers late last night, guaranteed $4.5 million. Can earn with incentives up to $7 million. So the question is, with the Twins starting pitching questions, were the Twins ever in on Lorenzen? So I mentioned on Tuesday, Lorenzen on Monday in California threw a simulated game. The Twins were sent the video, all the data. In the end, I was told no money. The Twins just, they didn't make an offer. There was nothing there. The Twins did not make Michael Lorenzen an offer to make him choose, okay, do I go to Texas or do I come to Minnesota? Nope, nothing. The Twins were not involved on Michael Lorenzen. So, you know, then the inevitable question is, well, Jordan Montgomery's still out there. The Twins could use a starting pitcher, right? Like, there's very little depth. Like, what happens if, God forbid, early in the season, Pablo Lopez goes down for a couple months, or Joe Ryan goes down for a couple months? Who exactly are you turning to, right? So you can make the case the Twins need a starting pitcher. Jordan Montgomery, very accomplished starting pitcher, is out there. But based on what I was told on Lorenzen, I just have a hard time believing, unless, you know, the poll ads, you know, Joe specifically, if he bends, like, but I don't have evidence that is changing. So I have a hard time seeing Jordan Montgomery landing in a Twins uniform.
Boy, I mean, that would fix a lot of things for this team if they one of these classic Scott Boras deals, and they would require ownership to just swallow $25 million or whatever it is. But it would, you've got a rotation spot wide open right now. If you want it, you can move Varland to a depleted bullpen because of the injuries. Jordan Montgomery would be your number two starter, regular season and postseason. I mean, it's sitting right there. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to play in Minnesota. There's all sorts of reasons why things like this happen.
Sure, but money will talk loudest at this point, I believe, right? Yeah. In late March, like, he's looking for this big payday. Now, yeah, like, he may be looking for the multi-year big payday, right? So even if the Twins were open-minded to a two-year deal with an opt-out after the first year, he may not be open-minded, especially here in Minnesota, because I do think there's something to be said about his preference being somewhere other than here, whether that's Boston with his wife there or the East Coast, you know, maybe back with the Yankees. Not necessarily sure on that, but, you know, maybe not here in Minnesota. But I don't sense, Phil, like, the Twins are willing to bend payroll-wise. It's unfortunate, yeah, right? It stinks. I get it, right? After you win your first playoff series in 20-something years, 21 years, right? Like, now was the time to spend. Like, you're knocking on the door of winning the American League. Go win a World Series, right? You need a little bit more. But I don't sense anything's changing. I really don't.
Well, and Jordan, at some point in time, dude, you're going to have to take what you can get. Like, you're not in a position. Opening day is Wednesday. You're not in a position to be like, well, what I need is a 5-year contract. I mean, you're going to have to take, I mean, Blake Snell took a nice contract, but it wasn't like he had, you know, a plethora of opportunities. He's going to eventually have to just take a contract and come back next year, and at some point in time, realize that Scott Boras probably isn't as good as you thought he was.
It's not the dollars. It's what the dollars represent for Jordan Montgomery, is what I'm hearing.
I mean, Lorenzen is that ultimate example, right, Judd? I mean, like, based on his body of work, to only be guaranteed $4.5 million when a Frankie Montes gets, what, 12, 13, 14 million? There's other examples you can cite, right? Like, Declan, who are some other names I'm thinking of? Severino? What did Severino get? Like, a bunch of those guys signed one-year deals. Mm-hmm. Flaherty, what did Jack Flaherty sign for?
I think they overpaid for him a little bit in Kansas City, but I can see him. Or do you go to Detroit?
Detroit.
Yeah,
did
Lugo go to Kansas City? But yeah, there's a bunch of examples. Kenta Maeda, right? Mm-hmm. You know, although that's a multi-year deal, right? Because the Twins would only do the 1 year. They wanted Kenta back, but on their terms, 1 year, and he got multiple years right in Detroit. But point is, like, you look at Michael Lorenzen, you know, like, this wasn't the idea, $4.5 million base, when some other comparable guys got double or more than double.
Yeah. Wow. Great session today, boys.
Yeah. And hey, the Cam Christie NBA draft buzz continues. Like, he's going to test the waters. Like, that's just the steam. I've been saying that for a couple weeks now, but it's stronger than ever. And then the question is, what sort of feedback does he get? You know, is there any chance he stays in the draft, or can the Gophers sell him on coming back? And hey, like, you have to sell them on the idea that we'll continue to develop you, that you can be, in this time next year, a first round pick. So maybe right now you're more like a second round pick, but maybe some team gives you some sort of promise, you know, 4-year contract, one of those, you know, Naz Reid, Jalen Noel type contracts, 4-year deal, last 3 years non-guaranteed, but first year guaranteed at, you know, decent money. But could the Gophers sell him on comeback, and we can turn you into a first round pick? I just don't see Cam Christie ending up at a different college program. Like, to me, it's either NBA or back with the Gophers.
Right on. Let's go, Gophers. Win the NIT, baby. Hang the banner.
Indiana State on Sunday. Yep.
Dukes, we'll do it again next week. Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday to
absolutely
you and your family.
Yes, the day is still young, right? So there's still plenty of time to recklessly speculate. So always love it. I'll talk to you boys next week. See ya.
There he is, Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. And that's a wrap. on this Reckless Speculation Thursday.